We're going to start in Proverbs chapter number 12 and hold your place in Psalms chapter 14, but give you a message the Lord put on our heart for this morning. Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse number 15. If you're there, say amen. Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth the shame. Let's pray. Your Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and that blessed assurance, Father, that you've given us. And Lord, we pray this morning, God, that you would clear my thoughts and move me out of the way, Father. You would use me as a willing vessel. And God, you'd speak through me, Lord. God, you'd show up in this service today. And Father, may we say it was good to be in the house of the Lord today because you were there and your presence was here, Lord. I pray you bless, and God, we'll be sure to give you the thanks, the praise, and the glory. In your name we pray, amen. The Bible says here, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The word fool means one who is destitute of reason or the common power of understanding, an idiot. That's what the word fool means. And it says here that the fool is right in his own eyes. The Bible definition of the word fool, if you look it up, at all the times it's mentioned in the Bible, and we're going to look at some this morning, means unwise. Unwise. America and people today, their problem is they think that they're right. They think that everything that they do is right. No matter what God says, no matter what the Bible says, no matter what the preacher says, they believe whatever they do is right. And growing up, man, I know that there was times as a teenager that I would think that something was right, and my granddad or my dad would tell me that's not the right way to do that thing, and I thought, well, they're just old. You know what I was? I was unwise. Amen. I was a fool. And so, there's a couple sayings just as a way of introduction before we get into the message. It is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think that you are a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. Mark Twain said that. And I've met a many of people that you look at them and say, man, they look like they're foolish. But you don't really know. But then they open their mouth and you say, confirm. Done right there. Amen. That's the world that we're living in today. It's just nothing but foolish and folly. And this world is slap full of fools. And I know that growing up, and I preached this message one time in a church, and a lady about had a heart attack in the pew. Because in the Bible, she read that if you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of going to hell. And I know that, but you got to rightly divide the Bible to understand what that's talking about there. But the message I'm preaching this morning are seven fools in the Bible. Seven fools in the Bible. And the Bible's the one doing this. So as I preach this message, if you want to get mad at anybody, get mad at your Bible and get mad at God. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. Amen? All right, so we're going to look at this thing just here for a minute. The Bible calls some people fools. Look at Psalms chapter number 14. Psalms chapter number 14, look at verse number 1. If you're there with me, say amen. The Bible says, the what? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Bible says here that a man's a fool if they say there is no God. You know what this man is here? His heart has been corrupted. His heart has been messed up to convince him that there is no God. It blows my mind that people actually believe that they're convinced that there is no God. I don't know about y'all, but man, if you've ever seen the process of having a baby and you've seen the things that baby goes through with growing and the stages and getting the pictures and seeing, there is no way you can tell me that that's a man. There is a God in heaven. Right. The fact that some of you are sitting in church this morning and dressed in your right mind and your right clothes, hey, tells me that there's a God in heaven. Amen? The fact that I'm here this morning tells me that I know there's a God. But there's people that believe that there is no God. And they live their life. And the Bible says the fool says there's no God. And I can list fool after fool after fool in our government and different people around the world who say there is no God. And then there's those that say you're a God. You just decide what you want to do, what you think is right, and you be the God. That's foolish also. You know what's happened to these people? Their heart has been corrupted. The Bible says over in Romans, I believe it's chapter 1, that the devil has blinded their minds, which believe not. The devil has convinced them that there is no God. But you know what? It goes a step further than that for Christians. The devil has convinced some Christians, or so-called Christians, that there is a God, but they can live however they want. You know what the message being preached now in some of these places? Ecumenical movement. It is whatever makes you happy, Brother Eric, that's okay. As long as you're happy. As long as you're happy, and as long as your flesh is happy, it doesn't matter. As long as you're happy, that's okay. Well, what's the right way to heaven? Whatever way you think is. That's the message that's being preached. And you know what that is? That's foolish. That's a foolish thing to think. And as a child of God, I think sometimes we live our life like we believe there's no God. We say there's a God, we go to church, we sing about God. Hey, but sometimes we live our life where we don't believe that there's a God. Because if we really believe there was a righteous, holy God, there's some things we do a little bit different. We forget that He's holy and righteous, Brother Josh. We live in an age of grace, and thank God for it. Amen. I mean, when I mess up, I don't get hit with a lightning bolt upside the head. Amen? Amen? Or in the Old Testament, God opened up the earth and just swallowed them. The earth ate them. I mean, just ate the person up because they messed with the things of God. I'm thankful we're not living there. Amen? Because I might get eaten up on 65. Driving down through there. Amen? I thank God that we're not living. We're in the age of grace, but we still serve a holy, righteous God. The Bible said that the fool thinks that there is no God, believes that there's no God. And I'm telling you that all over this world, there are fools everywhere. You get to talking to somebody, and they just get to the point where they say that they believe there's no God anymore. How in the world can there be a God if all this stuff is going on? And I'm telling you, there is a God, and He is real. Their head is corrupt. Not only is their head, their heart corrupt, their head is corrupt. And these people that say there is no God, they make themselves a God. They say what's right, they say what's wrong. I was doing some, when I was putting this message together and stuff, I was doing some research on agnostic people. And looking at different things, and I guess one of the presidential candidates, Rubio, I think it is, just recently talked to a person that says they didn't believe there was a God in one of the press conferences. And he gave the plan of salvation to that guy. And he said, listen, the guy asked him, he said, what are you going to do to protect me? I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe in a God. What are you going to do to protect me? We want a commander-in-chief, not a pastor-in-chief. That's what he told him. And he responded to him and said, listen, I believe that Jesus Christ came and He lived on this earth as a man just like me, and He was sinless and He died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that, and I'll never apologize for believing that. But I'm also going to protect your right in this country to believe whatever you want to believe. But he gave him the gospel. But I was studying, I saw that, and I saw some different things. And next thing you know, and the internet's a crazy thing. Now, you can hit a couple wrong buttons and be off in left field. And so I'm looking at this agnostic and people and trying to research and do some things. And next thing you know, I get off and I find a story about a girl that married a dolphin. She legally, in another country, married a dolphin. You say, that's crazy. Then I found another guy in Cambodia or somewhere that married a pillow. Y'all think that's funny, don't you? I had a pillow that I loved. Not enough to marry it, but when I met Miss Sarah, she threw it away, and it broke my heart. I've had that pillow since I was like 10. That pillow got saved when I got saved at 10 years old, amen? And she threw it out, just like a good old shirt, right, Brother Philip? This wife just throws it out. But I'm telling you that I got to look at these things and see it. And you know what happens when you don't believe there's a God and there's nobody that you answer to? You do whatever you want to do. There's a man that stood on the courthouse in Birmingham that was protesting the sodomites from getting married. And he said, what are you going to do next? Want to marry a mop? Somebody's going to come up one day in the United States of America and said, I'm going to marry this mop. And what are they going to tell them? At what point? There's going to be a grown man one day said, I'm going to marry this little girl because God made me that way. What's next? Where's the limit? There is a God and He is in heaven. Hey, and He did send His Son to die on the cross for our sins. Amen. But whenever you get to a point where there is no God, then you become a God. You say, what does this have to do with me, Brother Andrew, as a Christian this morning? I'm wondering the way that we live sometimes, if we're telling the world that we don't really believe there's a God. We go to church. They see us get up and go to church. But on Monday morning, they know we go to church. They know we do these things. But does our life tell them that there's a God? Because the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen? And get to the point where, man, I'm telling you, we live in a wicked, wicked, perverted world. I don't know why in the world some guy would want to marry another guy. That is messed up. I wouldn't want to go home with another one of me. I can't live with myself as it is, amen. How in the world? But we're living in a world of fools where they believe there is no God. I stopped with a pillow. I didn't want to go no farther. I just turned off the thing. Amen. We live in a world of fools. This man who believes there's no God, this woman, their heart is corrupt, their head is corrupt, hey, their habits are corrupt. Their habits reveal the thoughts that they have of the superior one. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in answering to anybody. You know what we're raising today? We're raising a generation of fools in these schools. They don't believe there's a God. They believe they can do whatever. Hey, I can just go in and shoot up everybody and it'd be okay. All I got to do is tell them I got a mental disorder and it'll be okay. You know what? All this is a result of no God. It's a result of no God. And they believe, I got to move along, I got seven of these. I'm going to go quick though. Alright, number two, look over to Luke chapter 24. So number one, we find seven fools in the Bible. Number one, the fool who says there is no God. Number two, look at Luke chapter number 24. We'll turn quickly, I'll try to preach quickly. Luke chapter number 24. Some of these, you say, well, man, I believe there's a God. Well, as we go through here, some of these might make bring it a little closer home to us. Might be bringing it a little closer home to those that we love and those that are family and people, other people that we know. Luke chapter 24, verse number 25. You there, say amen. Amen. Luke 24, 25. Then he said unto them, O what? Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know what this fool is here? This is the fool who believes not the prophets. You know what this fool is? It's the fool that does not believe the Bible. Does not believe the things that are written in the Bible. You know what this fool is? This is the fool that wants to take just a couple parts of the Bible, but they don't want the rest of it for themselves. I've met people before. I've talked to them about things and I've showed them verses. And the only Bible verses that they will even read are the ones in red. And if you have a red letter Bible, those are the words of Christ. But I've met and talked to a guy before and I tried to show him verses in the Bible. And he said, no, that's not Scripture. I'm not listening to any of that. He said, I only pay attention to the words that are in red. Amen. And so he believes that, only accepts parts of the Bible, rejects the Bible as being the inspired Word of God. I believe this King James Bible right here is the perfect and errant Word of God. Amen. And someone that does not, I know some of them are innocent because they don't know any better, but if they reject that this is the perfect Word of God, they are a fool in doing so. Amen. They're a fool in doing so. Why? This is the final authority. This is the final authority. If you don't believe that this is the final authority, that makes you the authority and that makes you God. You're trying to play God. Amen? The fool is the one that does not believe the Bible, that doesn't believe the prophets. Hey, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back one day. And I believe that those heavens are going to open up and He's going to call His church to come home and be with Him. And I want to be found faithful serving Him. Amen. And I believe the Bible. I believe the King James Bible, our Bible here, for the English-speaking people, is the perfect and errant Word of God. Yeah. And I believe that with all my heart. Amen. All right, let's move along. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. You might want to hold a finger in Proverbs because we'll be bouncing back and forth. Proverbs chapter number 14. Seven fools in the Bible. Man, I would hate for God to call me a fool. Amen. I don't like being called a fool by anybody. And I don't think it's a very polite thing to do to call somebody a fool. But the Bible calls some folks here out and calls them a fool. All right, Proverbs chapter 14. Verse number 9. Look at this one. Proverbs 14:9. What does it say? Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The Bible says here that if you make a mock at sin, that you are considered a fool. You know what this world does, church? They laugh at sin. They think it's funny when you got a man with a man. They think it's funny when there's a lady with a lady. They think it's funny. Hey, I'm against these things, and I know we're getting down a little closer to home here this morning, but I'm against about every single show on Disney. You know why? Because they think it's funny to talk back to their mom and dad, and they think it's funny to mess up, to do something wrong and try to figure it out before mom and dad find out. It's entertaining. It's funny. I remember watching some shows when I was little. My parents had us watch. I don't remember. It was called the Chuck Wagon Gang or something. I don't remember what it was called. But I remember the kids, when they got in trouble, they would pray to God. And they say, "Lord, I'm in trouble. God, would you help me?" And then they would go tell their parents, "I messed up. I'm sorry." And they would get the thing right. And man, those were good. Yeah. But now shows today, and I'm telling you, I haven't watched a Disney show in 10 years. It's been a long time. We don't let there's a couple cartoons, like the Real Little Kids, we let them watch, the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or something like that. But any of those other shows on there, we don't let our kids watch them. Why? Because it's making a mock at sin. And you say, that's not a bad sin. If they're back talking their parents, it's sin, it's sin. It says to make a mock at sin. The Bible says you're a fool. And so I'm against those shows. I was preaching against Miley Cyrus way before she ever became a Hollywood slut. I was preaching against her when she was Hannah Montana, and look what she turned out. And these are the idols that our kids are having these days. Amen. I was preaching against all those things. The reason is, the Bible says you're a fool if you make a mock at sin. You take it up into adult. There's very few, if any, shows on regular television that adult can make that they're not making a laugh and a joke at sin. How many people in those shows are actually married? Hey, and they're living together, they're married. No, they got them living together, and they're not married, and they got them sleeping around and doing this, and they got them living together, and all these things, they're not married, and people laugh at it. There was a show years ago when I was a younger teenager. I remember some of the adults, and I remember the preachers preaching about it, called Will and Grace, with a man that was a sodomite living with a woman, and it was just a bunch of sin. And the shows today are getting 10 times worse. And you know what Christians do? They sit there and watch it and they laugh. Does my Bible not say that fools make a mock at sin? They think it's funny. They make a joke out of it. And I'm here to tell you that Hollywood makes the pervert, the sodomite, they make them the funny guy. And the Christian is the one that's backwards. He's yellow-bellied. He's the one that's a coward. He's the one that gets made fun of. And people sit there and they laugh at it and they mock it. They've got adult cartoons now that'll make you a sailor blush. I haven't seen them. I've seen some of the commercials, and that's all I need to see. Wicked, 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 wicked. Christian has no business watching that stuff. Amen? It says a fool makes a mock at sin. You know what? I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. I love you, church. I'm trying to help you. You know what a fool does? It listens to the world's music and laughs at it. Sings along with it. Singing about going and getting a drink with your buddy and tearing up the bar and doing all those things. It's just singing along with it, going down the road. Fools make a mock at sin. Amen? Listen to some of those songs and the music and the world and the talk and watching them shows and just singing along and laughing with it and just having a grand old time. The Bible says a fool makes a mock at sin. I don't want to be known as a fool. Amen? I've done some foolish things. According to this message, I've done some foolish things in my life, and I regret it. I'm sorry for it. I want to please my Heavenly Father. Fools have no fear of sin's power. Proverbs 14:16, don't turn there. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Fools make a mock at sin. You know what a fool does? He has no fear over sin's power. He doesn't care. He's going to watch that show anyway. He's going to listen to that anyway. He's going to go to that place anyway. He's going to go with them friends anyway that he knows nothing good's going to come out of it. But a fool does it anyway because he just doesn't care. He knows what it's going to bring. He knows that it's going to pull him down. He knows it's going to pull. She knows it's going to pull her down, but she does it anyway. I don't want to be known as a fool. Not only fools sing along and they laugh at sin's content. Fools have no fear of sin's power. Fools take no warning of sin's slaughter. You know what sin will do to you, church? You know what sin will do to you, young ladies and young men? They will take you and it'll abuse you and it'll pull everything out of your life and it'll leave you laying there for dead. And won't even care one bit about you. All those friends that you thought you had that were your best buddies, man, when the drugs run out and the money runs out and all the other things run out, they're gone and nowhere to be found. Laying there with nothing. But you know what, man? It was a party when it was going on, Brother Johnny. Oh, man, it was a grand old party. It was a great time. You should have been there. Wake up in the morning and say, what happened last night? I don't want to do nothing where I got to wake up the next day and trace my steps back because I don't know what happened. But that's what the world thinks is fun. Amen? Are you all right this morning? Just a party of sin and going on. The fools make a mock at sin. You know what sin will do? Sin will show you the party, but it won't show you the pregnancy. Sin will show you the nightlife, but it won't show you the nightmare. Sin will show you the fun, but it will not show you the funeral. I can't tell you how many times, I can give you story after story. Brother Josh has got some growing up where he grew up, man, and knowing some of the folks. I'm telling you, I know some that grew up, and I can give you story after just one time. They went to the wrong party, Brother Johnny. One time they got in the wrong vehicle with the wrong person. And ended up in eternity just like that. Just having a grand old time. There was one I heard a preacher tell, and I'll try to do it justice. I don't know if I can. There was a young man. He wasn't a saved man. He was just a good, moral young man. You know, there's some people that are lost that have more character than Christians. There are. They know how to dress. They know how to talk. They know what. They just have more character than some Christians do. Well, this young man, he had his whole life ahead of him. He was a very smart man. He graduated from high school and went off to college. He had good morals, man. He had good practices. He didn't party. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He didn't dope. He didn't do no drugs. He just had his whole life ahead of him, man. Just a smart young man. And he was saving himself for marriage. He knew that that was important and he was not going to mess himself up with a young lady. He wanted to save himself and be a virgin for marriage and give himself to his wife. And he did all those things and went off to college. And he lived with his parents the first year of college. And the second year, he wanted to move into the dorms. So he moved into the dorms at the university that he went to, and his friends that were there with him kept pushing him. Said, man, we're having a big party tonight. They didn't know much about this young man. Hey, we're having a big party tonight. Why don't you come to the party? He always told them, no, I got to study. No, I've got to study. Well, then they found out that he was a virgin. And they found out that he never drank before. And they found out that he never smoked or taken any drugs. And they just amplified it that much more. Just pushing him and pushing him and pushing him and pushing him and pushing him to try to get him to go. One night he finally said, fine, I just want to get him to be quiet. I just want to get this over with. I'm going to go. And he went to that party that night, and he woke up the next morning not knowing where he was. He didn't know what happened the night before. He doesn't remember a thing. He got up, cleaned himself off, called his dad, said, Dad, I messed up. Come get me. I don't even know where I'm at. I don't know where my clothes. I don't know who I'm with. I don't know what happened. Would you come get me? He realized he moved back home, finished out of school, and was doing great. One day he came up, bad headaches, got real bad sick, was so many months down the road. His dad and mom took him to the doctor. They brought him in one morning, sat him down, said, son, I hate to tell you this, but you have AIDS. This man had kept himself pure, clean. This preacher that gave this illustration, he was preaching a revival when that young man walked in the back door and came and sat down, and he got saved that night. The next night, he came back with tears in his eyes, brought his family. Some of his family got saved. And he came up and told the preacher, Preacher, I have my whole life ahead of me. And now I only have a few months to live. You know what that is? That's sin. You know what sin will show you? It'll show you the billboard. It'll show you the good time. It'll show you that. Man, it'll show you that. The alcohol commercials on there, man, they show you the wild, the fun time, the grand old time. But they don't show you with your head in the toilet the next morning and the dad not bringing the check home to take care of the family and pay the bills. That's what sin does, but you know what the Bible says? A fool makes a mock at sin. Sin is an awful, awful thing. It'll take you places you never thought you would ever go. It'll do things to you you didn't think it was even possible. Sin's an awful thing. You know what the Bible says? Fools make a mock at sin. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Fools make a mock at sin. Matthew chapter number 7. We've just got a couple more left. I'll finish up here. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 26. I know this is a somber message this morning. I'm trying to help you, church. There's some things that Christians don't need to be laughing at, are involved in, are participate in. And we need to encourage our kids, man. We need to keep them pure, keep them right, keep them living right. Growing up, there were people I was not allowed to go to their house. I didn't understand it when I was a kid. Now I do when I'm older. My mom and dad were trying to protect me from sin. Amen. They were trying to protect. There was places we weren't allowed to go. We didn't go to dances and we didn't do some of those things. You say, well, man, you missed out. Well, yeah, I did. I missed out. You know what I missed out on? I missed out on heartache. I missed out on a life of trouble. I missed out on a life of heartache. I missed out on a life of seeing my dad beat my mom and my mom cussing my dad out. I missed out on all that. God's blessed me. And I've had people tell me, man, you didn't go to all the high school dances. You didn't go to those things. No, I didn't. They said, well, man, you've missed out. Well, yeah, I've missed out. Look what God's done for me. God has blessed me and my family. I have no regrets for anything that I've missed out on. Amen? You don't have to experience the world. You don't have to experience it. God has everything that we need. Matthew chapter 7, verse 26. Matthew 7, 26. Are you there? Okay. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a what? A foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know what this fool did? This is the fool that builds upon the sand. You know what that means? You're building something upon a foundation that's not sure. A foundation that'll crumble. You know what this is? This is a life built on lies. A life built on self-righteousness. A somebody that's standing on their own strength. The Bible says that person's a fool. You know what I want to build my family on, Brother Eric? This right here. This is a sure foundation. This foundation has never had one crack in it. The foundation of my house, it's up on bricks or whatever's under there. I don't know about all that stuff. But some of it's starting to lean a little bit and starting to move a little bit and shift. And I don't know what I got to do. I got to get under there and figure out what's going on with it. But the foundations, they crack. Foundations, they stumble. But this is a foundation that has never cracked. It's never shifted. It's never moved. Amen. It's been a sure foundation. You know what I want to build my marriage on? This Bible right here. What does the Bible say I need to... How does the Bible say I need to treat my wife? How does the Bible say my wife is supposed to submit to me? How does the Bible say I'm supposed to raise my kids? How does the Bible say I'm supposed to dress? How does the Bible say I'm supposed to act? That's what I want to do right there. You know what the Bible says? If you do any other thing, the Bible considers you to be a fool. It's foolish to build your house upon the sand. If you're building your house upon a career, or you're building your house upon this or that or something that'll collapse just like that, you're building it on the wrong foundation. Amen? I've got to hurry along here. The fool that built his house upon the stand. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'll give you these very quickly. I want to get to the last one. Yeah. Ephesians chapter number 5. The Bible has a lot to say about fools. I don't want to be found a fool. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 15. Ephesians 5:15. Through 16, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as what? Fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Here we see the fool who does not redeem the time. You know what this fool does here? This fool just completely throws away their youth. This fool completely throws away their manhood, their womanhood, their marriage, and just squanders it and lives it for themselves and does not redeem the time. I'm telling you, folks, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back any day. I believe that with all my heart. And it could be 50 years from now, and I'm still going to believe, hey, in eternity, that could be any day. Amen? I believe He's coming back, and I don't want to waste the time away. I want to serve God. Amen? I don't want to embarrass Him. I'm not trying to lift Him up or puff Him up in any way. But Brother Eric, man, he got in church, and he told me the other day, he's like, man, I want to get in. He said, I want to learn the Bible. I want to get in. You know what he's doing? He's saying, hey, I've had enough time in this world. I want to get in and do something for God. Amen. You know, that's something wise to do. Amen. Say, I'm tired. I've gave the devil enough. I've gave the world enough. I want to do something for God. Amen. You might be in here this morning and say, I've messed up. I have faltered. I have failed. I've made mistakes. But from today on, I'm going to serve God and I'm going to redeem the time. Amen. If you don't do that, the Bible considers you a fool for not redeeming the time. Man, just want to do right and get right and get it right with God and do it right and get going. Amen? The Bible is not hard to understand. There are things that I know we go through classes and we learn and doctrinally and rightly dividing and all these things, but as far as what a Christian is supposed to do and not supposed to do, the Bible is very clear. It's not hard to be understood. You say, I want to know what the Bible says about such and such. Man, come talk to me. Come talk to some of these men. Get in your Bible and study it, and the Bible will show you exactly what to do. You say, all right, that's what I'm going to do. I appreciate a man or a woman, a family, that says that they're doing something a certain way, and they're living a certain way and doing something, and they read in the Bible and say, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. We're done with that. We're not doing that no more. Why? Because the Bible. I appreciate that. Amen? That's how we've tried to set up our life. And if I ever run across something in this Bible that I'm doing wrong, I want to fix it because I want to line up with this foundation right here. Amen. All right. Two more, real quick. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm just gonna give you this one and then pass through it because I want to get to this last one very quickly. Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 20. When you find your place, say amen. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said unto him, thou what? Thou fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know what he said to this man right here? This man was trying to build bigger barns and trying to collect all this stuff and all these treasures in this world, and he was living for himself. And the Bible said, thou fool. There's people that work their whole life, and they are married to their work. They don't care about their family. They don't care about God and the church. But guess what? When you die, somebody else is going to be driving your car. Somebody else is probably going to end up with your wife. Somebody else is going to be raising your kids, and somebody else is going to be spending your money. That's what he's getting at here. Amen. And so he's saying that the fool is the one that just lives for himself and gets all this money and all this wealth and doesn't care anything about God. He's lost and just living for himself. The Bible calls that man a fool. When you really get saved, you realize there's more to life than money. You know what's more precious to me than money? This right here. The people in this church. My family right here. Amen. That's more precious to me than making money. If I had to go live in a little one-room place and keep my family, I'll do it. Just because that's what means more to me than anything. And you'll realize that. The fool is one who doesn't realize that. How many people have you known that have wasted their life and they look back on their life and they weren't even involved in their children's life. They didn't do anything for God. At the end of their life, they have nothing to show for anything except for a little bit of money that somebody else is going to get when they die. All right, last one, 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel, this is the last place you have to turn. 2 Samuel chapter number 3. We see the fool that says there is no God. The fool who believes not the prophets. The fool who makes a mock at sin. The fool who builds house upon the sand. The fool who does not redeem the time. The fool who lays up treasures for himself and not for God. Lastly, 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 33. And the king lamented. He was crying, wailing over Abner. and said, died Abner as a what? As a fool dieth. Without getting into the scriptures for sake of time, this man died outside of the city of refuge. The city of refuge was a place of safety. It was a place that they could get to and be safe. And this man died outside of the city of refuge. He waited too long to get in. He waited too long to enter. He died right on the outside of the gates. He died without hope. You know the last fool that I want to look at? I'll be done in just a minute. The last fool I want to look at is the fool who dies outside of the city of refuge. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Andrew? I'm talking about the fool that comes to church. They've heard the preaching. And they die and go to hell. Man, what a sad thing, Brother Terry. That breaks my heart to think that somebody was at the gates of heaven and would die. Man, I would hate to be going to a church like this and end up dying and going to hell. What a tragedy. Why? Because of pride. Because of saying, I don't need no help. Not acknowledging that we need God. Thinking that we've done enough to make it. We've done enough to do good. I'm good. I don't need the church. I don't need God. I can do it on my own. What a fool. What a fool. And I would hate for someone. You say, Brother Andrew, who are you preaching to this morning? I'm preaching to the people sitting right here. I'm not preaching that one that's not here today. Say, hey, I really don't know for 100% sure that I'm saved. Man, I wouldn't go another minute without knowing for sure that I'm saved. Brother Josh, you come to the piano if you would. I'm saying this last fool that we see here is the fool that dies outside of the city of refuge. That dies outside of the city of refuge. In Acts chapter 26, King Agrippa is talking to Paul. And Paul gave him his testimony. He gave him the gospel. And this is what King Agrippa said, believest thou the prophets? And this is what King Agrippa's answer was. I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know what he told him? He said, almost, preacher. Almost you convinced me. Almost you persuadest me to be a follower of Christ. Almost you persuaded me to be saved. But he didn't do it. King Agrippa, if he died right then, he dropped off into hell, standing right outside of the city of refuge.